10. Mooney must have stared at the trunk of his car for a solid 5 minutes. The thumps would come in bursts, just one or two, randomly, then a whole furious burst of them, till it sounded like half a dozen Dutchmen in there with wooden shoes were clogging on the inside of the metal trunk lid. The whole car would rock like crazy, then it'd stop again, and everything would go still for 10 or 15 seconds, while Mooney pondered the impossible nature of what was occurring. He'd use that moment to question his sanity, his judgment, his ability to correctly perceive reality, his past history with drug use and abuse, and then the dancing Dutchmen would start back up again. Of course, it was not possible. Not in the slightest. Dead things don't come back to life. Decaying corpses don't reanimate. But there was something alive in his trunk. Two somethings. Wedged in there with the spare tire and the toolbox and the gun case, and they weren't having any fun. In the end, it was Mooney's essential decency that made him open the trunk. His goodness and kindness as a human being. Because the level of suffering going on 3 feet away from him was intense. And what kind of person allows another living thing to endure that sort of agony? What kind of person stands by and does nothing? Mooney didn't open the trunk because he was stupid. And he didn't open the trunk because he was scared. And he didn't open it so that he could kill them again. He opened the trunk because we are all God's creatures. Thing of it is, even God would have taken one look at the cat and said, "That shit is not mine." The trunk was only about 6 inches open when the first paw came out, claws flexed wide, slashing at the air like it wanted to rip the whole atmosphere a new one. Mooney fell back at that point and the cat did the rest. It leaped straight up, banging into the trunk lid and sending it swinging open the rest of the way. The cat landed on all fours, still in the trunk, and it snarled at him. A look of such profound, intense hatred that Mooney's response came without thought of any kind, a purely synaptic reflex. "I'm sorry," he said. Yes, Mooney apologized to the cat, and it was really the only sensible response. The animal was a mess, and it was all his doing. He'd put the .22 slug through the side of the cat's head, and even that small caliber was enough to blow off the other side of its face. Now the half-cat would never wow the ladies again. Its fur was dark and matted with blood, its eyes a sickly bright yellow, and unless Mooney was hallucinating, which he still imagined, hoped, really, was entirely possible, its midsection was expanding as he watched. But the cat looked good compared to the deer it was standing on. Tuesday night had started out substantially better than this for Mooney just over 48 hours ago. In need of a little distraction, he'd taken himself to the movies with a real quick stop at Turdick's Liquor and Cheese first, where he'd picked up a six-pack of Bartles and James Exotic Berry wine coolers. He didn't love flavored booze, but they were the only wine coolers that were cold and came in plastic bottles. The plastic ones had screw-off tops and didn't make a racket if you happened to drop, say, the fourth one on the floor of the movie theater. At his last Mooney's private movie night and wine party, a bottle had slipped through his popcorn-greased hands, and the excruciating clatter of it hitting the cement and rolling down the sloping theater floor felt like it had lasted half an hour. Just about every head in the place turned, and that kind of silent group disapproval was something he could have gotten home for free. So, he was no dummy. Plastics. Wine coolers go down easy. The problem is the sugar headache. But if you bring 5 or 6 Advil, you're fine. Mooney was a big fan of the A vitamin and never left the house without it. So by the time he drove away from the Regal 18 on Highway 16, he was more than fine. He had a nice buzz and the movie wasn't half bad either. Mindless enough that you could tune out for whole chunks and not get lost, but not so stupid that you felt bad about yourself afterward. He could have done without some of the language. But the best part of all was, he still had one wine cooler left for the drive home, and it wasn't even completely warm. Life could be kind. He waited till he got through all 3 stoplights in town before he opened it. Mooney had a hard and fast rule. He never, ever drank while driving in the busy part of town, and he rarely texted or went online behind the wheel unless, you know, it was going to be super quick. He was a concerned citizen who cared about his fellow man, so he didn't crack the plastic lid on his 6th wine cooler until he'd hit the long, flat, dark stretch of 16, where it started the big bend. "You're going to want to. But you just can't blame the accident on the Bartles and James. That wouldn't be fair. Yes, Mooney's blood alcohol was flirting with 0.15 and his reaction time was down, but 250 pounds of aggressively stupid animal that springs out of nowhere and stands frozen on the center stripe of a dark highway, right in the middle of an unlit curve, I mean, that asshole has to be factored into the equation, too. Character is destiny. And that dumbass deer, sorry, that beautiful creature of God, that thing's character was drawn within the limitations of a non-sentient brain. It stood there, unmoving, as the car closed the last 50 feet on it. It just hunched there, watching death come hurtling at it, staring at the car like, well, like exactly what it was. There's a goddamn good reason for that cliche, so maybe it was fitting that the first thing that hit the deer was the headlight. The rest was a gruesome blur, and Mooney panicked and blacked out most of it, as he did sometimes when things got weird. Next thing he knew, he was standing over the wounded animal on the shoulder, staring down at its broken, twitching form and holding his father's .22 pistol. He kept it in the trunk for situations just like this, which, believe it or not, were not all that uncommon around here. Mooney knew what he had to do. It wasn't hard. You point the thing and pull the trigger and put the beast out of its misery. That's what any decent human being would do, and there was no law against it, neither God's nor man's. The animal was clearly suffering, its mouth opening and closing soundlessly, steam rising from its blood as it spilled out onto the asphalt, still hot from the exceptional heat of the day. Just kill it already. But Mooney had never killed before, never knowingly. He didn't even like swatting flies. It tended to send him off into flights of creepy reverie, reflections on his place in the universe. He'd always figured he was a Buddhist at heart. Weren't they the ones who were on about reincarnation all the time? Or was that the Hindus? Whichever. The ones who cared. The ones who loved all living things. That was him. But now, here he was, faced with the bang! Gun went off while he was still mid-thought. And it hit the wounded animal in the gut. It screamed. Oh, great. Now a gut shot the fucking thing. How can this have happened? I'm a warm and sensitive and humane person. And oh my God, what is that horrible sound this disgusting animal is making at me now? I feel bad enough. What is it? Hacking spit at me? And Mooney filled with some other feeling, not guilt, not tortured reflection, not the milk of human kindness, but a new one for him. Rage. Pure, undiluted rage at this senseless animal that had ruined his night, his mental state, and the front left end of his car. He raised the gun again, put it to the deer's brain this time, and blasted away. More than once, way more than once. In spirit, it was more of a murder than a mercy killing, if anybody was keeping karmic score. The crying jag Mooney had afterward in the car lasted a good 10 or 15 minutes. Truth is, it felt pretty good as guilt flooded through his veins again. It was at least a familiar feeling, much better than the out-of-body experience he'd been having before that. Now, what to do? You can't leave a dead deer by the side of the road with three broken legs, a bullet in its stomach, and four more in its head. That's sick. Mooney needed time to think, which meant that deer had to get off the shoulder of the road and into the trunk of his car. The sight of Mooney, 180 pounds and half in the bag, trying to get a dead, gangly, 1/8-ton deer into the trunk of his car would have made for some pretty brilliant silent comedy. It may well have taken all night if not for Tommy Seipel, the driver of a 2015 Lexus. Tommy saw what was happening, pulled over immediately, asked one question. You loaded? And sensing Mooney's answer would be in the affirmative, threw his own considerable bulk into helping hoist the mangled deer into the trunk. He slammed the lid on it, wiped his bloody hands on Mooney's t-shirt, spoke a handful more words, I'd get the fuck out of here if I was you, and went back on his way. Mooney occasionally knew good advice when he heard it, and this was the best advice he'd heard in years. He jumped behind the wheel, slammed his door, and did as told, driving off with the dead deer in his trunk. As he drove, where to exactly, he started thinking about the deer in those last gutshot moments, when it seemed to be spitting at him, and he got enraged all over again. What exactly had gotten to him about that? Was it the temerity of the animal to accuse him of not being able to handle so simple an act as a mercy killing? Was that thing calling him inept? Unable? Telling him he couldn't hold up his end of the deal? Something had triggered a rush of bad, inadequate memories, but he'd taken care of that, hadn't he? He'd answered any questions quite definitively, with one or two, or, okay, fine, four more squeezes of the trigger. No, I am capable, quite capable, thank you. I settled that shit, but good. And hey, what about my parents' fucking cat while I'm at it? Mr. Scroggins was 14 years old and had been sick for the last, say, 12 of those. He was a diseased and expensive pet. The bills from the animal hospital were about $400 just since the beginning of this calendar year. Though his father would have taken out a second mortgage to keep that ugly cat in the world, Mooney knew the toll the financial strain was taking on his mother. Plus, come on, life couldn't be any kind of fun for Mr. Scroggins either, all riddled with disease and shit. Mooney was headed home with a dead deer in the trunk, a loaded .22 that he knew how to use, and a head full of righteous killing fury. He liked it. Mr. Scroggins was executed down at the public lake access boat ramp, where the shot might not be heard. Mooney tossed him in the trunk with the mangled deer, and so began the 44-hour odyssey of manly pride and horrified remorse that eventually brought Mooney to the grassy knoll here at Atchison Storage. All he wanted to do was give these two innocent dead animals the Christian burial they deserved. But now Mr. Scroggins was alive again, standing on top of the once dead deer in the trunk of the car, and he seemed royally pissed off. The deer, whose mortal injuries had been far worse, flailed all four legs at once, trying to stand up in the trunk, but its broken limbs collapsed underneath it. Mr. Scroggins staggered off him, but caught himself on the rear lip of the trunk and clung there, hissing. It had probably been a long ride for these two, and they were sick of each other. Motivated by something other than normal locomotive powers, the deer vaulted itself out of the trunk. It fell flat into the gravel, its legs splaying outward, cracking again. There had to be a couple new brakes in there somewhere. Then it hauled itself up on all fours, bounded up the hill, and just kept running upward, disappearing into the night. Mooney had staggered back when the trunk first flew open, and good thing he'd put 6 or 7 feet between himself and the car, because Mr. Scroggins just missed him when he sprang off the rear bumper, claws extended, half jaw snarling and spitting. Apparently, Mooney's apology had not been accepted. Mr. Scroggins landed on all four paws, turned as if in reaction to a sound, and ran up the hill in the same direction the deer had gone. But the cat stopped at the first tree he reached, a tall pine, and threw himself at it, catching hold of the bark and starting to climb. Mooney got up and walked closer, staring in amazement as the cat climbed the tree with incredible determination. There were no stops, no hesitation, no second thoughts, only upward movement. The branches thinned near the top, but still the dead cat climbed, swaying on this one, nearly breaking that one, but losing no speed and no sense of purpose. He reached the top of the tree, the trunk spindly up there, but still strong enough to hold an 8-pound cat. Possibly 7.5 after recent events. Mr. Scroggins finally stopped at the top when there was nowhere else to go. He paused and took a look around as if to make sure that this was it. There really were no new mountains to climb, not for him anyway. Satisfied, he opened his mutilated jaws as wide as they would go. He turned back to the thinning central trunk of the tree, to its tippy top, and snapped his head forward, impaling himself on the treetop. He squeezed with a furious might and indignation, sinking his fangs into the bark as far as they'd go, clamping himself down there. From below, Mooney watched, slack-jawed. You almost never see this kind of behavior from a common house cat. Thus secured to the very top of the very tall tree by his embedded fangs and his commitment to his cause, Mr. Scroggins began to grow. His remaining cheek billowed. His legs swelled up like 4x4s. His stomach ballooned out in both directions, and if you were close to him, which thank God you were not, you would have heard his tiny ribs snapping like matchsticks, one after the other, broken by the tremendous gastric pressure from within. Mooney was unaware of even the existence of Cordyceps novus, much less how it had apparently come to penetrate the trunk of his car. He just stared, dumbfounded, at the swollen, once-dead cat at the top of the tree. How in the name of Jesus? Mr. Scroggins burst. Had Mooney not felt the need to express his understandable amazement in audible terms, His mouth would not have been open when the cat guts hit him in the face.